Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com. Let's go to Vince, waiting very patiently in San Diego. Hello, Vince, and thank you.
Hey, good morning, Patrick. Patrick, I'm 64 years old, and I have a 23-year-old son who's a college student. And we were talking the other day about Christopher Columbus.
Okay.
And as we were talking, it seems like we were talking about two different people. Now, I was wondering, what can you tell me about Christopher Columbus, or are there any good books you could recommend?
Okay.
So I can get more
okay,
informed.
Okay, sure. Well, there is a very good article by Dinesh D'Souza that I retweeted on Twitter, and that was a couple of days ago. I can retweet it again if you'd like. And in it, he has footnoted several very helpful books and other articles and things. So I would start with that. It's called The Sins of Christopher Columbus. And what he does is he dispels many of the myths and outright lies that have been perpetrated against not just Christopher Columbus, but in this case, he takes up that issue. And at the end, when you see in the footnotes, you'll be led to a series of other books. So this article appeared years ago in First Things. I just retweeted it, so you'll find it.
Okay.
But a few quick things to remember. One of the big things right now is that Christopher Columbus was all about slaves, and to some extent he was. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. I could speak for hours on this, but here's the thing. So many young people, they just don't know actual history. And I don't blame them because, as I said in my tweet, they were force-fed a kind of twisted, distorted leftist view of history with a heavy helping of hatred for Europeans and this kind of exaggerated, idyllic notion that the native peoples here in what we know now as the United States and Central America and South America, that they were living in some kind of paradise, when in fact that's not true. And there's exaggerations on both points. So yeah, Christopher Columbus, he did do some things that by our standards today are objectionable, including being involved to some extent in slavery. But he was a very good man in many respects, and he loved the Indians, and he called them Indians because he thought originally he'd come to India. That's where he thought he was going to be going. So that's why that name sort of stuck here. But the indigenous peoples that he encountered, he did many great things to try to help them. And Dinesh D'Souza goes into the specifics in this article. But here's the thing to remember, and tell this to your kid when you have the next conversation. The Indians practiced slavery. The Native American peoples, or the indigenous peoples, they practiced slavery. They enslaved people. The people in Europe had slavery. This ridiculous notion that the United States invented slavery, I heard somebody say that on the news the other day, just absolutely absurd. Slavery has been around as long as humanity has. So when Columbus and Cortez and Vasco da Gama and all the others, when they wound up showing up on these shores, they found people who, you know, running around naked in the forest. Okay, that's interesting. Eating papayas and fruits and things. That's kind of cool. We like that. But they were not living this life that we think of today, or that young people are told today was this sort of Garden of Eden paradise. They practiced typically, they practiced torture, in some cases human sacrifice. So other tribes who were conquered in battles and things, it was not in every case, but it was not unheard of. In fact, in some places it was rather prevalent that the native peoples practiced human sacrifice. They sacrificed these victims, men, women, and children, and not just in Mexico. You see examples of this in what is now northern New York and into southern Canada. Ritual cannibalism, ritual torture, and slavery. So it was rampant in the New World. And so when we look back on it now, according to this distorted view of history, we have this idea that Christopher Columbus and Pizarro and Cortez and all these guys, these were just these rapacious, bloodthirsty, murderous, slave-mongering guys who all they cared about was enslaving people. And that's not true either. But they also didn't show up in the Garden of Paradise where everybody was just frolicking and picking fruit and petting animals and having a great time. That's not what it was like here either. So, because there's so much more to say, and I do have to take a break, I'll simply refer you to that article by Dinesh D'Souza as a starting point. That's all it is, a starting point. And that will lead you to other sources that will be helpful. And boy, oh boy, now more than ever do we need a big heaping helping of actual history and not the fanciful notions that have been foisted on our young people for the last 30, 40 years. That's my comment on the topic, Vince. What do you think?
Yeah. And it seems like a lot of times I bring up different subjects with them, historical facts that I grew up in. It seems like to them, they look at what we were taught as being jaded and being wrong. And now they have the correct, they've been taught the correct interpretation of history.
No.
Like I'm running into that a lot.
Well, they say that only because that's all they know. That's why I don't fault them. So when somebody kind of scratches his head and I say, why are, you know, what's so wrong with being against people who own slaves? All right. Well, if you want to follow that logic, then you would have to also be against all those indigenous peoples who own slaves. You know, why should, you know, shouldn't we be against those rapacious Europeans who came here and they plundered the native peoples and they stole their land and they killed them wantonly? Well, okay, I see your point. But if that's true, then we should also be against all of those indigenous peoples who did all the same things. They stole land from each other. They killed each other wantonly. I don't have to go back down the list again. You know, torture was very common. Slavery was common. Cannibalism was common. Human sacrifice, even, was not uncommon. Yeah. So if the logic holds that we should be tearing down statues and hating on these stupid Europeans who came here, and they did all this thing. Well, if the logic holds, then the same should apply to the indigenous peoples. And that's not the answer. That's not the solution. We should accept history as it was. We don't have to like it. We don't have to condone it. But we should at least acknowledge it and learn from it. That's what I think is the bottom line for this issue.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the help, and I'll look for that article.
You got it, Vince. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let us go to Barry, listening in California. Hi, Barry.
Hey, hello. You know, I'm a Catholic. I'm American Indian, 70 years old. And I really appreciate what you said because that's so true. You know, the people here in the United States, they kind of have it backwards. You know, the reason the indigenous people here allowed the colonizations or occupation, invasion, whatever you call it, you know, it was allowed. You know, for instance, right. In the East, it was allowed. Right, 100 people came on the shore, and you know they just said, "Let's watch and observe them. Let's see what we can get, what we can trade." And when the colonies grew, just like you said, they saw what was going on with slavery, and the native people were very much into slavery already. You know, battling with it for territories, hunting grounds, and when things were times were bad, you know, capturing women from other tribes and children. And when they saw that, you know, you could actually market a human being for trade goods, particular weapons, they were all for it here in this country. And the Algonquin Nation, you know, the Abenaki particularly, were very much into it, you know. So, yeah, you know, they kind of got it backwards. And putting all this stuff on a brave, courageous man like Columbus, you know, really is, you know, discerning to me. And I'm afraid that even if I speak this among my own people, and I'm Diné, I don't mind saying I'm a Diné, I'm Navajo, you know, I don't mind saying that. And the deal is, if I even say those words around my people, the young people are getting this wrong, you know, even in the Indian Nation, have it upside down, and they're getting it wrong, you know.
What happens?
They're just seeing the noise. Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you, Barry.
What happens?
What happens when someone like you, who has some historical perspective? What happens in your experience when somebody like that kind of brings it up? What is the reaction typically?
The reaction is very negative because they know that sometimes I will go out and speak at college campuses, high school campuses, and large American social clubs. And when I speak in this way, they get very upset with me to the point where they just don't want me in the family type of thing, you know.
Oh,
they say that what
painful.
I'm doing is wrong, and it brings bad luck, you know, because many Native people, particularly Navajo people, are not Christian people, you know. So they believe in that bad luck is going to come to me, that I'm going to be cursed, and that if bad things happen, it's because people already have curses on me back home. It's pretty interesting, you know. And if you believe in that type of thing, demonic worship and so forth, and you believe in it, you might just help it along. And I had a poor friend who actually believed it so much that he actually willed himself to death, you know, so it's an interesting thing, but it's not received well when I do speak. It is, I get a lot of, I've had been threatened. I've had just out in the middle of gatherings back home, crowds gather around me and say, hey, yeah, that's the guy over there. And I've been attacked. So, you know, the truth hurts. And I tell them that, you know, the truth.
You know,
hurts,
what Jesus said really applies in this situation. Like you just said, the truth hurts. You could say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And he said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And I don't know how anyone can really argue with that, but I'm sure it's not a popular message.
Well, thank you for that, Patrick. I really enjoy listening to your program.
Thank you. Do you speak any Navajo, Barry?
You know, I try to listen to you back home. No, because I was put into foster care when I, that's how I ended up in Los Angeles. I was put into foster care when I was five. And I would not be, I was not reunited with my family, but once in a while, you know, and that lasted till I almost was 13. And every time I went home, you know, I had another brother or sister and stuff. So there's in my family also, here I am, 71 years old. A lot of my siblings, you know, don't know me. You know, they don't understand what happened and so forth, you know. So we were reunited, you know, when I was back 18. But then, you know, Vietnam War was going on and I just joined up. So I just kind of never went home. But other than to see family after I became an adult and was married. And I am the only Catholic because of my foster care, the only Catholic in my family, you know.
Wow.
So that's something unique. But thank you, Patrick. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm really happy to hear this, Barry. And thanks for standing tall, even in the face of the persecution that you experienced. God bless you. Wow.